الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر صدق الله العلي العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honored and respected ulama, seniors, hufaz kiram, brothers, those that may be listening over the devices, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We would like to take this opportunity firstly to express our gratitude and thanks and shukriya and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this tawfiq that Allah ta'ala has blessed us with to assemble on the nisbat and on the relationship of the Qur'an Majeed. This in itself is a great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, and more especially at this time when it is supper time for many of us, if not most, that we have sacrificed some of our time to listen or to concern ourselves with some aspects of the Qur'an Majeed. This is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has favored us with. The second aspect that I would like to mention is this, that alhamdulillah, especially for those that have did hifz of the Qur'an Majeed and that are sitting here as hufaz of the Qur'an Majeed, we have all been through a madrasa, or at least through an ustad. And whilst we were students, and at the time of completion, our asatidah kiram would have advised us that this is what you need to do, as Maulana mentioned, to maintain the Qur'an Majeed. Meaning that this type of relationship you need to have with the Qur'an Majeed, due to which you will remember the Qur'an Majeed. But however, due to my weakness and sometimes not adhering to the advices of my asatidah and my seniors, there seems that a gap comes in between, due to which the Qur'an Majeed slowly starts getting weaker. And many of us find difficulties as we get closer to Ramadan Mubarak, and also as we get closer to Ramadan Mubarak, for those of us who somehow build up some courage to perform Taraweeh, then there's a type of worry and concern that we experience. And especially now in these last 2-3 months before the Mubarak month comes in, so it is a concern of every hafiz, and I need to start preparing for the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. And this is especially for those weak ones like myself, otherwise those whom Allah Ta'ala has given the tawfiq, and those who alhamdulillah know the Qur'an Majeed. So alhamdulillah for them, whether it's Ramadan al-Mubarak or out of Ramadan al-Mubarak, it is the same. Because of the relationship that they have with the Qur'an-i-Majeed. They have a very intense relationship with the Qur'an-i-Majeed. Amongst the Qurra-i-Sab'a, the seven Qira'at, the seven Imams of Qira'at, there was one known Imam Nafi' Madani, rahimahullah ta'ala, a very great Imam of Qira'at. So people experience in his majlis, that when he spoke or when he gave dars, then the fragrance of musk came out of his mouth. So on one occasion, someone went to him and asked him, "Oh Sheikh, could you probably tell us what type of perfume or ether you are using, due to which we experience this beautiful fragrance emanating from your mouth when you recite the Qur'an and Majeed, when you are teaching us, when you are giving dars?" So he mentioned, he said, "No, there is no fragrance or there is no ether that I am using." But then they mentioned the other, "Why is it that we are experiencing this? We are talking of ta'alluq with the Qur'an-i-Majeed, relationship with the Qur'an-i-Majeed." So eventually, Imam Nafi' rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned to him, what should I tell you? He said, "On one occasion I see in my dream, Huzuri Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either some have mentioned has put some saliva from his mouth direct into my mouth, or some have mentioned that Huzuri Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sees in his dream, is reciting right into his mouth." And he says that from the day that I have seen this dream, this is my condition. That's this excellent and beautiful fragrance emanates from my mouth every time that I speak. This is the ta'alluq with the Qur'an-i-Majeed, the relationship with the Qur'an-i-Majeed. And we normally say, you know, that generally a hafiz's relationship with the Qur'an-i-Majeed is one of fear. How is that? Whilst we're in madrasa, which is our habit as asatida, if you don't learn, you're going to forget the Qur'an-i-Majeed. You don't recite the Qur'an-i-Majeed, you will forget the Qur'an-i-Majeed. So what happens? And today too, when we are preparing, for what are we preparing? It is for Ramadan Mubarak, and more especially for those of us that are performing Taraweeh, so that I must be able to recite the Qur'an and Majeed without mistakes. Maybe just a few days ago, a person sent a message, and within that he writes that I must be able to read 5 paras of Qur'an and Majeed every day. And beyond that, he said, I must be a jayyid hafiz, means I must be a good hafiz. So fair enough, alhamdulillah, the aspiration is good, that I must be a good hafiz, I must be a jayyid hafiz. But the jayyid hafiz and that good hafiz must be for what? For whom? Is it just restricted up to the Taraweeh Salah? That if I'm, as on one occasion there was a parent that came and he mentioned that, you know, a child is about completing the Qur'an-i-Majeed, so I would like him to know his Qur'an-i-Majeed to that extent and so well that he is able to perform the 20 rakats of Taraweeh without any problem and difficulty. So then he was told that if this is what you are desirous of for your son or for this child, then you tell me that if someone Allah Ta'ala has blessed with such a memory that the whole year he doesn't recite the Qur'an and Majeed, and still it comes Ramadan al-Mubarak, there are those that are of this type, that come Ramadan al-Mubarak, they're able to go onto the musalla and perform Taraweeh without any difficulty, will you be happy with that? Whole year he hasn't made any tilawat of the Qur'an and Majeed, but he's able to perform his 20 rakat Taraweeh. Are you content with that? Are you happy with that? So what is our door of the Qur'an and Majeed for? What is our tilawat of the Quran and Majid for? That is why we say that we need to move the focus a little. And one is this, that I am reciting the Quran and Majid, or I am learning the Quran and Majid, so that I don't forget it. So fair enough, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing that we recite the Quran and Majid and learn the Quran and Majid, so that we don't forget it. But let me see what is in the interim my relationship with the Quran and Majid. It is one of fear. If I don't recite the Quran and Majid, I'm going to be forgetting it. And on the other hand, you have a situation where a person's relationship with the Quran and Majid is one of love, is one of muhabbat. That is why our Ustad Marhum Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Mia Rahimahullah Ta'ala, would mention that when you are reciting the Quran and Majid, then make this intention that via the recitation of the Quran and Majid, you get muhabbat ilahi. I'm reciting the Quran and Majid. I'm getting, through this recitation of the Quran and Majid, I'm getting the muhabbat of my Allah. And you're getting qurb ilahi. You're getting the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, whilst I'm reciting the Quran and Majid, I'm engaging in zikr ilahi. That is, I'm making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one of the best forms of zikr, the tilawat of the Quran and Majid. That is what I'm engaging in. Now, let us compare the two. One is the person who is reciting the Quran and Majid with this type of fear, this type of concern. And on the other, a person is reciting the Quran and Majid, or his relationship with the Quran and Majid is one of muhabbat, one of azmat, and one of that he's getting closer to his Creator, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. These are the two scenes that we are observing. Now, if we just have to study this a little bit, Allah Ta'ala has given us hearts. Allah Ta'ala has given us hearts. And we know very well that these hearts, this heart that Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with, could be in one of two conditions. It's either in the condition of expansion, or it's in condition of contraction. It is either in a condition of expansion, or it's in a condition of contraction. And if you want to turn that in another way, it's either in the condition of happiness, or that it is in the condition of grief. It is either in the condition of happiness, or it is in the condition of grief. Now, what difference does it make? When the heart is in the condition of expansion and happiness, you will find that one is able to do much more compared to that condition when the heart is in a condition of contraction. So once again, the two aspects. One is where I have got this relationship with the Quran and Majid of fear. Now, when there is that type of a condition, then the heart is in contraction. And on the other hand, when I'm realizing that this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via this I will get the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala, I will get the closeness of Allah ta'ala, I will get the proximity of Allah ta'ala, I will be engaging in dhikr as long as I'm making tilawat of the Quran and Majid. What happens? What happens is this, is that now there's happiness and there's that expansion in the heart due to which a person is able to do much more. Now, if you really study, when we talk of learning the Quran and Majid or remembering the Quran and Majid, how does one remember the Quran and Majid? One remembers the Quran and Majid by reciting it. One remembers the Quran and Majid by reciting it. So the principle basically is this, that the more of the Quran and Majid you are going to be reciting, the more you will remember of the Quran and Majid. Now, if you want to term it in different words, there's two ways of learning the Quran and Majid. Now, especially for those that have passed the madrasa phase, and we are now adults. We have responsibilities, family responsibilities, earning responsibilities, and so many other things. When a person is at that part of his age, which has got so many responsibilities, of course he is not able to have that type of relationship with the Quran and Majeed from a learning perspective as he would have whilst he was a student in the madrasa. At that time you could spend well 6 and 8 hours or up to 10 hours with the Quran and Majeed. And now I do not have that type of time to spend with the Quran and Majeed. So what happens is that after the Hifz period is over, after one has completed the Quran and Majeed, then because we become engaged in so many other pursuits, that relationship and the ta'alluq with the Quran and Majeed decreases. And this also goes for those that are in madaris. For those of us that get into our Arabic classes, we would have observed that once you come out of the Hifz class, and when your Arabic classes start, then because of the volume of work that we have as far as memorizing and other things, mutala and so forth is concerned, then we find that the Quran and Majeed starts getting neglected. And the result is this, that we begin forgetting. And when we are asked, or when I talk to myself, when I ask myself, then I justify it by saying that because now I've got so much of work, I cannot take door by anybody, or I cannot ask someone to listen to me, because I need to learn the Quran and Majeed, and then I need to take whatever I need to take. So now, the excuse is this, that I don't have the time. So fair enough, I don't have the time, but let me understand also, that this is not the only way of learning the Quran and Majeed, where I take the Quran and Majeed and learn it as sabak, or learn it as door. But there is another method of learning the Quran and Majeed. And this is what I would like to emphasize on this evening. And inshallah, if we can understand this concept, then not only will we inshallah be able to learn the Quran and Majeed, but it will be a route that you will be taking in which you will find immense happiness. A person, a youngster came recently, and he came with his father, was a student of a madrasa, and the same complaint that started the Arabic classes and whatever, and I'm unable to keep that type of relationship with the Quran and Majeed. Quran and Majeed is going weak and so forth. So he was told that, see, there is nothing difficult. This is, you know, a deception where I say that I don't have time. If there is time management in a person's life, if there is time management in a person's life, then you will see what results you can get just by managing your time. So I said, as a student, if I say, okay, I cannot take the Quran and Majeed and learn as I would have, as I learned whilst I was in the Hifz class, no problem, it is simple. He was asked, said, for the year, how many khatams do you make? He says, well, I haven't made any khatam for the year. Whole year is gone by, and I haven't made khatam. Alright. So one is this weakness. And now when the concern comes in, then the one system is this, that okay, let me start learning in sequence from the beginning, from Surah Fatiha, or from whichever para, from the back, from the front, from the center, I start learning. Okay. Now when I start learning, how much can I learn? And especially in adults. Sometimes you say, okay, listen, if it is the initial paras, the person can learn a quarter para, maybe per day or per night, and he will take it by whomsoever. But what happens as he comes to 6th, 7th, and 8th para, and he finds the difficult portions coming in, and the mutashabihat, and that his enthusiasm starts decreasing, because he's finding it more difficult now. Because he's finding it difficult, so now He says, no, listen, I cannot manage. So he started something, and by the time he reaches 6th or 7th or 8th para, gradually it starts decreasing. And by the time he gets to maybe 10th para, he's left it altogether. And let us also remember that as we age, generally our memories also decrease. So that is another issue that person is experiencing. So one is the time I don't have. The other is the difficulty that I am experiencing in my learning. Now let us remember one thing, that in whatever we want to do, encourage ourselves. Don't discourage yourself. In this system, I am not saying it is not a system. It is a system. And alhamdulillah, many have gone through that system. But we observed in many cases that that enthusiasm with which one starts, it is unable to be maintained. He cannot maintain it. So, because I am experiencing this problem and difficulty, I am now not being encouraged to go forward. That himmat that I had, that courage that I had is broken. And eventually I leave it. That is why there are so many that start and then stop and start and stop. And there isn't that consistency in whatever we are doing. So fair enough, if this I cannot do, then let me opt for something else that will encourage me. So what is the other option that we have that will encourage me? And that will go for, if not all of us, for many of us, especially those of us that experience difficulties in the Qur'an-e-Majeed, learning the Qur'an-e-Majeed, retaining the Qur'an-e-Majeed. And this is the system of Nazira that we speak of. The system of Nazira is another method of learning the Qur'an-e-Majeed. And if you want to term it this way, that it is another route that a person is taking to learn the Qur'an-e-Majeed. Sometimes this route that this person is taking may be a little more lengthy. And at times it is possible that it won't be lengthy. Because when a person is learning the normal way, he will come to 8th or 9th para and give it up. And in this way the person is continuing. The other thing is this, that a person or a hafiz of the Qur'an-e-Majeed, he is not making one khatam of the Qur'an-e-Majeed in the entire year. Why? Because he begins learning the Qur'an-e-Majeed, and then when he finds it difficult, then that himmat is broken. So he stops again. And then he starts again and he stops again. So in place of that, let us just imagine, say if a person has got an hour of time for the Qur'an-e-Majeed. That's why when some come to us, we ask them or tell them, listen, first tell us or check within your day, how much of time do you have that you can spend on the Qur'an-e-Majeed. So the person says, okay, listen, I've got about 1 hour collectively, maybe 20 minutes in the morning and half an hour at night and whatever. Collectively, I've got one hour. So, okay, you've got 1 hour. The next thing that you will be asked is this, that how long does it take you to recite one para of the Qur'an-e-Majeed? So an average of 20 minutes, some those that recite little more slow will go to 25 minutes. But otherwise, let's look at an average of 20 minutes a para. So 20 minutes a person is reading one para and he's got 1 hour. So in 1 hour, how much will he be able to recite? He will be able to recite 3 paras. Now I'm not talking of learning. I'm just talking of looking inside, looking into the Qur'an-e-Majeed and reciting. Looking into the Qur'an-e-Majeed and reciting. So what has happened? I am reading and reciting 3 paras every day. And in 10 days time, I have made 1 khatam. Where on one end, I haven't made khatam for the entire year. Suddenly I am making tilawat and khatam of the Qur'an-e-Majeed. In 10 days, I am making a khatam of the Qur'an-e-Majeed because I am reciting 3 paras every day. Now you tell me, that person who was making khatam maybe in one year, suddenly I'm making khatam in 10 days, wouldn't it bring happiness to my heart? Now when that happiness comes to the heart, what happens? That the heart goes into a state of expansion. It is becoming happier. And what the result of it could be, that 10 days which I am taking to complete one khatam of the Qur'an-e-Majeed, On Jumu'ah, on the day of Jumu'ah, I went away early to the masjid. 20 minutes, half an hour earlier. So what I did, I took the Qur'an-i Majeed and I kept on reciting the Qur'an-i Majeed. So I realized that on Friday I recited 5 paras. So what has happened, that where it was taking me 10 days and suddenly it's taking me only 8 days. And this is all the time it is encouraging me. But remember, whilst there's all this encouragement, I'm going to ask myself, that is why one friend, when he was told this, so he meant, and he was given this tartib of making tilawat of the Qur'an-i Majeed. So at a later stage, when he saw, when he experienced the results of it, so he said, you know, when I was first told to do this recitation or to engage in this recitation, excessive recitation and tilawat of the Qur'an-i Majeed, I began thinking that how is this going to help me? Because I'm just reciting and reciting. How is it going to be helping me? He said, only later on I realized how this helped me. So let us understand that whilst I'm reciting, and this excessive khatam of the Qur'an-i Majeed is also a method of learning. Now this is what I need to be convinced about, that it is also a method of learning. Now let us ask ourselves, that you see, sometimes you just take something, you've got something in front of you, and you are reading it. So whether it's casual reading or whether it's reading, but there's something that I'm committing to memory. We are driving on the roads, there'll be a board that I'll see, and that board gives me a direction. And 1 kilometer thereafter, I'm turning left or right. Why? Because I've seen something and I've memorized it. I've just seen something and I've memorized. That is why some have mentioned that when we are learning, then the senses that Allah Ta'ala has given us, use all the senses, that, or as many senses as you can in your learning. Now, when we're learning the Qur'an-i Majeed, for that matter, we are even now at this point referring to tilawat of the Qur'an-i Majeed as learning. We're referring to the Qur'an-i Majeed as learning. Now when I'm learning or when I'm reciting the Qur'an-i Majeed, what are the senses that I can use when I'm learning the Qur'an-i Majeed? One is the eye itself. You are looking into the Qur'an-i Majeed, the text of the Qur'an-i Majeed. So I'm using this one sense that Allah Ta'ala has given me to use to recite the Qur'an-i Majeed. I'm looking into the Qur'an-i Majeed. And together with that, I'm using my tongue because I'm reciting. So we do know that when a person wants to swat, sometimes he's using, and because we've gone through the learning of sabaks and all, we know it comes to repetition. So using the tongue all the time. So that is the second ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala that I am using. And if I recite a little loud, where I can listen to myself, this is the third sense that I am using to learn. So the eye is being used, the ear is being used, and the tongue is being used. So these are the different aspects that a person can use in order to learn and to memorize. So however, I'm just seeing something and then I'm memorizing it. So this tilawat of the Qur'an-i Majeed that I'm making, so maybe on the first attempt, I will not realize the importance of this. But when I have recited the Qur'an-i Majeed, in 1 month, if I have made 3 khatams of the Qur'an-i Majeed, what I will observe is that my recitation is becoming more fluent. And every time I'm reciting the Qur'an-i Majeed, it is becoming more fluent. And the beauty part of this is this, that some that have got onto the system, there was such a type of enthusiasm, because now you have taken that stress out, that listen, I need to really learn the Qur'an-i Majeed, I don't know the Qur'an-i Majeed, I've forgotten the Qur'an-i Majeed. Now, that stress has been taken out. You have been de-stressed. Now, the only thing is that I must enjoy it. That is why one person came and he mentioned something about the Qur'an-i Majeed. And so, he was just told one thing. He said, enjoy the tilawat of the Qur'an-i Majeed. Am I enjoying the tilawat of the Qur'an-i Majeed? Do we enjoy the tilawat of the Qur'an-i Majeed? I'm reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether I understand the message that is therein or not, the fact that it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it was mentioned recently also, that one is the kalam of Allah ta'ala, which I am reciting with my tongue. But together with that, looking into the Quran and Majid, just now we mentioned that it helps memorizing. But there is another very, very important aspect as far as looking into the Quran and Majid is concerned, the text of the Quran and Majid. Some Ahlullah have mentioned that a person who has got a weak relationship with Allah Ta'ala, a person who, what we will call nisbat, a person whose nisbat with Allah Ta'ala is weak, then he should look at the Ka'batullah. By looking at the Ka'batullah, a person's nisbat with Allah Ta'ala, his relationship with Allah Ta'ala increases and gets strengthened, gets stronger just by looking at the Ka'batullah. So one wali of Allah Ta'ala mentions, he says that, see, from this I have derived something else. And he said, if the Ka'batullah, or looking at the Ka'batullah, or putting the gaze onto the Ka'batullah, can become a means to a person's nisbat with Allah Ta'ala increasing and getting stronger, then I will say that more than that, looking at the Quran and Majid, it will strengthen a person's nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. When looking at the Ka'batullah, which is the house of Allah Ta'ala, will increase one's nisbat, why wouldn't looking at the words or the kalam of Allah Ta'ala not increase the person's nisbat with Allah Ta'ala? Now recite the Quran and Majid and see what pleasure you get. That I am looking at the Quran and Majid. But in the interim, what's happening? I am learning also. I am learning. But at that time, the intention is this, that listen, I am looking at the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. So what is the relationship that I am having with the Quran and Majid? It is that type of ta'alluq and relationship of love, of muhabbat, of getting close to Allah Ta'ala. And this is what we need. Why do we become disassociated and distance from the Quran and Majid? This is the reason. Where is that, you know, that enjoyment that I ought to have got from the recitation of the Quran and Majid? It is because of the absence of that particular flavor and also that taste that I should get from the recitation of the Quran and Majid. Because it is not there, that is why I am distancing myself from the Quran and Majid. So a very, very important aspect in this whole system is this, that we should encourage ourselves. Get to the Quran and Majid. Recite the Quran and Majid as much as I can. And also in the tilawat of the Quran and Majid, it is such a method that in the morning, and sometimes we say this, that, you know, lots of things or many things, or in fact a Muslim is a very disciplined person. If you look at our ibadat and everything else, it disciplines us. So if a person can be disciplined, now imagine, just say if a person says, okay, listen, I'm going to be taking 20 minutes for the Quran and Majid, or 15 minutes for the Quran and Majid. And if he decides to choose the best portion of the day, and that is the time of Fajr, and he says, okay, my day will start with the tilawat of the Quran and Majid. So what is the first thing that your tongue is reciting? It is the Quran and Majid. What is the first thing that my hands are touching? Of course, after wudu and taharat and that, it is the Quran and Majid. What is the first thing that my eyes are looking at? It is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. That is how my day is starting. That is how my day is commencing. Won't there be barakat in that type of a day when a person is commencing his day like that? Okay. The other thing is this, that if I have discipline and if I say at the time of Fajr, I will recite my first para. So what the person does, he makes an effort that with the time of Adhan, or a little before that, he is already in the masjid to perform his sunnats and then to recite his first para. So he's come away to the masjid. Now look at the added benefits that's going to be there. One, he's coming early to the masjid, so he makes i'tikaf, niyat of i'tikaf. He's come away early to the masjid. Now which will mean, inshallah, he will get his farz salah with jama'at and takbir-e-ula. So he's performed his sunnats. He's going to be reciting the Quran and Majid. Look at the added benefits that a person is acquiring just because that is all linked to the tilawat of the Quran and Majid. So he's coming and he's reciting his Quran and Majid. The time of Iqamat, he is there. He's getting his Fajr Salah with Jamaat, not only with Jamaat, but with Takbir-e-Ula. Now these are all those benefits, and the same with the other Salahs as well. So Tilawat of the Qur'an-i-Majid, the more Tilawat of the Qur'an-i-Majid a person makes, that is how much the person will get fluency in the Qur'an-i-Majid. And then what happens when a person comes closer to the month of Ramadan Mubarak, and now he decides that, no, I need to start learning for the Qur'an-i-Majid. You know, probably we may have experienced this. I did the first 9-10 paras of Hifz of the Qur'an-i-Majid by my late mother, Rahmatullah Aliha. And she was not a Hafiza of the Qur'an-i-Majid. So at home, my place for reciting was in the dining room, and she would be in the kitchen doing her kitchen chores and whatever after school. I used to come home so she would be in the kitchen and doing her work, whatever. And I would be reciting Quran Sharif in the dining room. And believe you me, then despite the fact that she was not a Hafiza of the Qur'an-i-Majid, she would correct me. Now, let us ask ourselves that how did this happen? If it was not through excessive tilawat of the Qur'an-i-Majid, and this I'm going very far back, not very far back, just recently I was in one of the masjids in the Durban area, and as I was coming out from the masjid, the person came to me, a young person, and he introduced himself and he said, this is my son, and okay. The next thing he mentioned that his family also assists in the listening of the son, the Qur'an-i-Majid and so forth. And the same experience that I had regarding my mother, he mentioned the same thing, that this is what happened. So my respected friends and brothers, if a non-Hafiz can reach that stage and that level, then why wouldn't a Hafiz be able to reach that level? It will become so much more easier. And as we've mentioned, not only easier, it becomes so much more pleasant. And the person enjoys whatever he's doing. Come closer to the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. Now, as far as the preparation of Taraweeh is concerned, so alhamdulillah, those that are above average reciters of the Qur'an-i-Majid and Huffaz, alhamdulillah, they have absolutely no issue and no problem. Then we have those that may be of average. Average meaning that you can learn and you can recite in the Qur'an, in the Taraweeh, and you can learn the entire 1 1/4 para, 1 1/2 para, whatever, and recite, you don't have a problem. So alhamdulillah, we're not looking at that. But those who are at a level that is lower, that is where the concern is. That what do we do and how do we prepare for the month of Ramadan Mubarak? At the outset, I would like to say, as far as this is concerned, there is a tendency, you know, in some places. I'm not talking of those that are average or above average, or those that, alhamdulillah, know the Qur'an-i-Majid and make 2-3 khatams. I am talking of those sometimes young Huffaz who have just completed, and within the month of Ramadan Mubarak, in the first 10 nights we meet khatam of the Qur'an-i-Majid. 5 or sometimes 6 of us get together and make the khatam of the Qur'an-i-Majid, sometimes 8 days, 10 days, and the Qur'an-i-Majid, the khatam of the Qur'an-i-Majid is made. Let me just mention to especially those young ones who have just come out from Hifz institutions, of the Hifz class, and are going into this type of Ramadan Mubarak preparation, then let us try and avoid this. This is the beginning of weaknesses. One is to perform Taraweeh, but let us make an effort or get a type or a group that we will recite the Qur'an-i-Majid the entire month. Someone may calculate and say that, okay, listen, whether you're reading quarter para over 27 nights, or whether you're reading half para, maybe if you calculate, it will be about the same. Maybe from a calculation point of view, it may be the same. But let us understand something else. When a person has got 2 paras to read, or 2 1/2 paras, or 3 paras to read, and I am going to school, or I have got other commitments, let me ask myself that from the 3 paras that are going to be recited in the Taraweeh, how much will I be able to read? Will I be able to read the entire 3 paras, number one? I will not be able to read it, because my concentration and focus is on my quarter or half para. So what happens in every 2 paras, I'm only reading half para and leaving out 1 1/2 para. During the course of the year, I haven't did so much of Dhuhr, I haven't made one khatam of the Qur'an-i-Majeed. In Ramzanul Mubarak, this is my condition. What is going to happen to the Qur'an-i-Majeed? If it is at a level that is average, it will go much below that. Why? Because there's so much of the Qur'an-i-Majeed that I am not reading. The other disadvantage of this, that is why I'm mentioning, is not regarding those who finish and complete one khatam and then start the second khatam and change positions and then go for the third khatam. This is not related to those. We're talking about those of us who just make one khatam and then, unfortunately, sometimes in many cases we observe, as far as a hafiz is concerned, no sooner is the tarawih finished, my relationship with the Qur'an-i-Majeed comes to an end for that Ramadan al-Mubarak. I cannot, whereas I was making 5-6 paras of tilawat whilst the tarawih was carrying on, no sooner is the tarawih finished, that enthusiasm is no more there and it has dropped to one para or half para or nothing. So this tarawih system keeps us alert all the time. Therefore, ideally, for those who want to get the Qur'an-i-Majeed strong, the suggestion is this, that you complete on the 29th night of Ramadan. So every day you are performing, other than the first four nights, every other night you are performing, you are reciting one para. So what is the difference going to be? The difference is this, that if you've got one para and if you've got 3 hours to prepare for the day, so even if I read my one quarter, or I learnt it 4 times, 5 times, the balance of the time that I have got, I can make tilawat of the Qur'an-i-Majeed or recite the entire 1 and quarter para of the Qur'an-i-Majeed that's going to be recited in Tarawih or the one para. So this will take me throughout Ramadan al-Mubarak, and the number of khatams that I am able to make of the Qur'an-i-Majeed is going to be increased. It is going to be increased. Rather than making no khatam of the Qur'an-i-Majeed, you are going to be making maybe 10 khatams of the Qur'an-i-Majeed. Now, again, the recitation of the Qur'an-i-Majeed, if a person is reciting his 1 and quarter para, his 1 and quarter para or 1 para, if he's reciting it 3 or 4 times, so that is one. He's got extra time. Now, what does he do with the extra time? So if I've got extra time to recite another 5 paras, so one system is this, that 1 and quarter para that is being recited in the Tarawih, or that one para, I'm reciting it 10 and 15 times. I'm reciting it 15 times, meaning I'm doing 15 paras for the day. So alhamdulillah. But that is one system. There is another system which is even more beneficial. And that is for an average hafiz. What is that? If I've got time to recite 15 paras, my 1 and quarter para that I need, or my 1 and 1 para that I need to recite for the tarawih, I recite that 5 times, that will give me 5, or will give me 6 paras. So the balance 9 paras, what am I going to recite? The balance 9 paras, you start from Alif Lam on the first day, you have reached 9th para by the end of the day. And then, the second day, you got the tarawih portion that you need to read 4 or 5 times, and you're reading another 9 para, so you go on to 18th or 20th para by the second day. And by the third day, I've completed one khatam of the Qur'an-i-Majeed. So what has happened is that you've completed the entire Qur'an-i-Majeed in 3 days. Now, how does this help? There's different benefits of each system. For the first system, where a person is reciting one para 10 times or 15 times, this is for that hafiz whose para is weak. So he should recite that way. But one who is average, then the latter system, the second system, is a better system for him. Simply because, what's going to happen? Because commonly this question is asked, how do we learn the mutashabihat of the Qur'an-i-Majeed? How do we learn the mutashabihat? Let's see how we'll just analyze this a little and see how we are going to be learning the mutashabihat. Okay, today I'm reciting Alif Lam. And what I'm reciting, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. I've read it today. So today if I'm reciting my one para 10 times I'm reciting وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا. Right. Now where's the mutashabihat of this? It's in the 9th para. What is there? وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمْ اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ. Now, if I'm reciting one para a day, it's going to take me 8 days before I reach وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا. So probably by the time I reach وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا, I may not remember where I read وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا. Because it's 8 days back. And if it is something that's going to come in the 10th, 19th para, 20th para, then you're giving yourself maybe 10, 12, 15 days. But if we're using the latter system, that today I'm starting the first para and I'm reading till 10th para, my nazira. So I've read this morning, I've read وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا, and by asr time I'm reading وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا. So what has happened? The mutashabihat has come quickly. In the morning I have read قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ. And after 1-2 hours I'm reading قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ. What has happened? You are reading it so automatically, and remember also I'm looking inside. I'm using my, so the eye is also following that, okay, this ayat is وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دْخُلُوا is here, وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا is here. I'm looking inside it. So that is also assisting me. Now these are all those things. On one occasion in madrasa there was one youngster. So he came for his door and he's reciting his door and there was a mutashabihat mistake. So I asked him, where's the mutashabihat? So now he just was stunned. So he's trying to think, where's the mutashabihat? I said, okay, listen, go and look for it. And you're not going to get assistance from anyone. And you must be isolated, so you don't ask anyone. There's no lip movement also that anyone can read you, that you can ask anyone that where this mutashabihat. So he was isolated. The only thing he had was the Qur'an Majeed. Now he's battling and battling. Probably half an hour, 45 minutes. And after half an hour, 45 minutes, he comes and he shows me the mutashabihat was 2 pages earlier, which he already recited. 45 minutes. Now you see, the mind, or either the picturing was not there or whatever. He's read it, and he's read it to me few minutes ago. And now you're asking him, where's the mutashabihat? He can't find. After 45 minutes, he comes after turning so many pages. But remember one thing, you know, sometimes, you know, we resort to finding solutions very quickly. I don't know it, I come and ask you, where's it? You've shown me where it is, and that's it. So I feel, but something that is achieved after effort, you don't forget it. Now, I'm just trying to think, this particular child, if this is the mistake that he made, and it took him 45 minutes to find something that he just, that was just 2 pages, would he forget that in Adi? He wouldn't forget it in Adi. Why? Because that effort was made. So however, this mutashabihat that many of us have a problem with, difficulty with, and it's a question on many. This, the simple way of sorting and of the, or the answer to this is kasrati tilawat. Make tilawat of Quran and Majid, because you yourself will pick it up. Listen, I've read this day, or I've read this morning, or I've read it yesterday, and today there's some ayah that is similar to that, it has come somewhere else. So this, it should register. And the more tilawat of the Quran and Majid I make, the more this will open up to me. And this is a reality. That some that have gone through the system, they eventually say, listen, you know, now I'm able to know or realize where I am reading, or whether I'm on the right side of the page, on the left side of the page, or sometimes to this extent whether I'm reading at the bottom or I'm reading at the top. Now this all comes with these collective things. So the idea of this system and preparation for Taraweeh, and that is that if we have time, then whatever is required for our Tarawih. Now listen, sometimes you know what happens. This I've read somewhere recently also, that we make mistakes. You know, sometimes you'll find a person is very despondent. He's very disappointed. What happened? No, you know, I've learned the entire day. And I went on to the Musalla and I just went blank. I just couldn't read. So, the one reason for that is overlearning. Is overlearning. A person learns and learns. Basically, he wants to be overconfident of himself. And that results, or because overlearning, it results in overlearning. I want to be really confident. And what happens is that then you find You know, sometimes it has been my personal experience, which I didn't do, normally like to do that. On one occasion for Tarawih purposes, it was just reading few of us, so we read the normal, whatever was supposed to have been read. The next portion or the next para or the next one half, whatever it was, I didn't even go over it for that particular night or whatever. And it was a para that came with mutashabihs. But by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, you went through that without any difficulty. You start thinking that, why is it like this? This is the brain, you know, this is how it activates. On one occasion, there was one student that came to madrasa, and when after I asked him, you know, and alhamdulillah, his Qur'an Majeed was at a good level, so I asked him that how, you know, how much of door you must have did for your Qur'an Sharif to have been at such a good level. So he said, I was only doing quarter para at it. I see, Hafiz, what happened? So yes, that is, so I myself was surprised that how is it that a person can do quarter para and his, so he started thinking and applying the mind to it. And Allah Ta'ala put the explanation of that. And he said, yes, a ustad was such that one quarter para that needed to be given to him, he would listen himself and not a single mistake was permitted. If you've got a mistake, you need to go. So that is a level. So I said, okay, if that is the case, if you're learning, so okay, what Allah Ta'ala put to mind, you see, if you are doing one quarter, at the least, 30 times 4 is 120. It's about 4 months if you're looking at one cycle at quarter para, at the least. So, the question is, it's coming after so long, then why is it that it is still strong? So the answer to that was this, that you see, when you learn something and forget it, and learn again and forget it for the second time, and learn it for the third time, when we're speaking of learning, means thorough learning, you're learning it for the third time, fourth time, learning, forgetting, eventually the person learns it. If I ask someone his name, and if I ask him 10 times, so he will repeat, my name is this. And tomorrow you ask me again, I've forgotten, I don't know the person's name. But the same 10 times repetition, do it over 10 days. Once each day. Today I ask a person, what's your name? Give me. Tomorrow I ask him again the same thing. And for the next 10 days, and I'm asking him the same thing, what's going to be the result? You find that will be difficult to forget. Although it's the same thing, you know, it is, the example of this can be understood this way. You know, you take 100 liters of water and drop it on a rock. What's going to happen? The only thing that may happen is wash off the dust. But take that same 100 liters of water and put it into a container and make a small hole in that. Make an opening and let one drop come out at a time. It will take long to come out and to drain out, but by the time it has finished, it will leave an impression on that rock, some type of impression. So our memories are like that also, you know. And over learning, there was one person that once mentioned, he said that, you know, he was very disturbed about, you know, his performance in Tarawih, that why did I, you know, I'm learning. So he was then told, he said, okay, he was asked, okay, how many times do you need to learn or to go over your portion of Tarawih or your Tarawih portion in order for you to be confident in Salah, that listen, I'm not going to be making mistakes. So probably he answered maybe 5, 6 or 4, whatever. So I told him, okay, Jazakallah. The next thing what I'm going to be telling you to do is this, that tomorrow, instead of 4, read 3 times only. If 4 times is giving you confidence, you read 3 times or 2 times. So now, confused that if I needed to read more, I'm being told to read less. Why is this? Now the reasoning behind this, you see, when that person, when I'm learning 4 times or 5 times, I'm confident I'm not going to be making any mistakes. That is that because of that overconfidence that I have in myself, you find you begin making, and the target is this, that I must make no mistakes. That is my criteria. I must make no mistakes. So I must know the Quran and Majid at that level, I must make no mistakes. So when I've learned, when I've gone over it only 2 times, I'm already ready for it psychologically, that listen, mistakes are bound to happen, you know, because I, And that was the key to it. Alhamdulillah, the problem was. So overlearning also causes a problem. So to the extent that is necessary, learn. And the balance of time that we have got, leave for the tilawat of the Qur'an-i-Majid. Recite as much as Qur'an-i-Majid. And the beauty part of this, the beauty part of this is, say, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for argument's sake, a person is very occupied. If I'm reciting Qur'an-i-Majid, say, one para 10 times, so I must recite every para 10 times to the end of the Qur'an-i-Majid to achieve 10 khatams. Now what happens, comes the day, maybe Wednesday or Thursday, I've got other commitments, and I cannot recite 10 times that particular para, so that khatam will be incomplete. Compared to, if I'm reading 10 paras a day, so say today, even if I read 5 paras, tomorrow I can continue from the same place where I have stopped. It's not going to be affecting my khatam. And also another benefit is that, say, came the odd nights of Ramadan Mubarak. So instead of my 5 paras or 10 paras, I'm able to read 15 paras. So your cycle is gone faster and quicker, and within 2 nights, 3 nights, I've completed the Quran and Majid. So therefore, the system of Nazira is extremely beneficial, and it is extremely important if only we could achieve that. And especially for us, whether it is students of the madrasa, whether students of the madrasa generally, when we were in madrasa, will just share this, that sometimes we say, you know, we don't find time in this. So it was very simple, you know, it is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that what was done, there were others also, alhamdulillah, colleagues, that would come away early to the class, 5, 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes early, come away to the class and start tilawat of the Quran and Majid until such time that the ustad comes. No sooner did were the classes dismissed for Asr Salah, sometimes there was a period of about 5 minutes or so. It wasn't going here and there, it was going straight to the masjid and sitting down in the masjid and starting the tilawat of the Quran and Majid. And alhamdulillah, in this way, where we may have thought that we didn't have time, there was so much of time that alhamdulillah, 5, 6 paras or whatever Allah Ta'ala willed could have been achieved in the day. So this excuse that we don't have time, I think it's a lame excuse. We can always find time for so many things. Let us find time for the tilawat of the Quran and Majid. And remember, the more tilawat of the Quran and Majid I make, the more I'm getting the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, the qurb of Allah Ta'ala, the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, recognition of Allah Ta'ala, muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq, hidayat, and the guidance to engage in excessive tilawat of the Quran and Majid. And this is also applicable to those that are not hufaz of the Quran and Majid. Alhamdulillah, those that have excelled in the recitation of the Quran and Majid. And one last thing maybe that just comes to mind, and maybe we should just dwell into that for a little while. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that yuqalu li sahibil Quran iqra wartaqi. It will be mentioned to sahibil Quran. So one is hafiz al-Quran and one is sahibul Quran. Hafizul Quran and sahibul Quran. The rank of sahibul Quran is beyond hafizul Quran. Hafizul Quran is those that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, that we recite the Quran and Majid. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we have memorized the Quran and Majid. Sahibul Quran. Who is sahibul Quran? And these are those people who have been given these glad tidings. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the sahibul Quran will be told that you recite and continue ascending the stages and the ranks in Jannah. Who is the sahibul Quran? That is why some mufassirin, muhaddithin mentioned that yusahibuhu ay yulazimuhu. Means that he's attached to the Quran and Majid. Wherever you see the person, he's reciting the Quran and Majid. He's with the Quran and Majid. His fikr is the Quran and Majid. His recitation is the Quran and Majid. His sleeping is the Quran and Majid. His getting up is the Quran and Majid. This is Sahibul Quran. He's concerned about the Quran and Majid. Then he also makes an attempt to understand the Quran and Majid. The tadabbur in the Quran and Majid, to understand the Quran and Majid. This is the relationship and the ta'alluq with the Quran and Majid. So we need to make an effort to go beyond that title of Hafidhul Quran to Sahibul Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and bless all of us and make us among the Ashabul Quran. Make us amongst those that are attached to the Quran and Majid. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to recite the Quran and Majid as much as is possible. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.